Good morning, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? I think we're ready to start. This is a public meeting of the Pilot Election Review Committee pursuant to Section 24-6-402 Colorado Revised Statutes. The Secretary of State's office issued public notice of today's meeting on November 9, 2015. The time is now 9:09. The date is November 13, 2015. We are meeting in the Aspen Conference Room located on the third floor of the Secretary of State's office at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. Could the members of the Pilot Election Review Committee please introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Connie Engmeyer, former clerk and recorder, Morgan County.
Good morning, Steve Reno, Loudoun County Commissioner, former clerk and recorder.
Teak Simonton, Eagle County clerk and recorder.
Jennifer Levin, Disability Law, Colorado.
Donetta Davidson.
I believe Chuck Borman will be here late. I am Clarissa Thomas.
And I'm Dwight Shellman, the County Support Manager for the State Elections Division. And Chuck is going to be a little late. That is why we are recording everything today, so he'll be able to see anything that he missed. And others who want the video are obviously entitled to it. Let me just quickly review a couple of housekeeping items. First of all, anybody who needs Wi-Fi access, sorry I didn't think of that in advance, but Craig from our IT department is out in the hallway. If you will go speak to him, he will give you login credentials. We're deviating from our standard practice today. Ordinarily, we take public comment at the beginning of the meeting. Today is really devoted to the providers to make presentations to us and for the committee members to ask questions of the providers. They have incurred a great deal of expense to be here throughout the day, and we're on a tight schedule. We will take public comment at the end of the day today so that we can stay on track with our providers. And basically the format for today is we requested the providers to come and present however they want to present, to show us why they should be selected as Colorado's new uniform voting system. We asked them to submit pricing information in addition to information about planned enhancements, further developments, other products and services that they offer. Those are available in paper format on the back table. They have also been posted to the Pilot Election Review Committee's website. And if anyone does want to speak or make a public comment at the end of the day, if you would just put your name on the sign-in sheet, just so we have a record of who's speaking. And basically, the general format today is each provider will have 60 minutes to make a presentation. The committee members will then have 30 minutes to ask any questions that they want of the provider representatives. There'll be a 15-minute break between each presentation. And despite our best efforts, we are getting started a little late. It is now 12 after, so your 60 minutes will begin now.
All right. Thank you very much. My name is Jordan Esten. I'm Chief Operating Officer at Clear Ballot. First of all, I want to thank the committee for being here today. Really appreciate the time you've all put into this. Thank you to our pilot counties who are also here with us today and the time and effort they put in not only today but through this entire process. It's been a tremendous experience for us and we believe for them. I wanted to introduce the team we have here. This will be your lead Colorado team. Ed Smith is our Vice President of Products. Ed lives in Weld County. Over 15 years of experience in the elections industry with many of the other vendors you'll see here today and leads our entire product development process, again, right here in Denver. Anna Quevedo is our support manager, also over 15 years experience with many of the same vendors, has led huge implementation and support efforts in Miami-Dade County and other large efforts across the country. Steve Trout is our director of innovation. Steve has worked both at the county level, which he'll talk a lot about today, really operating and administering elections, but also as the director of elections in the state of Oregon, obviously another vote-by-mail state, and really led the vote-by-mail push Steve's been with us for over 2 years as well. And Carolyn Kelly. Carolyn Kelly is our lead project manager in the state of Colorado. She has been our project manager since the UVS meeting 2 years ago, and since that presentation has remained our project manager for both of the pilots, has done full state implementations in Nevada, large counties, Cook County, and has also worked for a number of the large vendors. So we're excited to have this team here, and as you will talk about further, this really is our key headline Colorado team. A little bit about ClearBout quickly. We were founded in 2009, and we're based in Boston, Massachusetts. A great presence here in Denver, as we see today, and across the U.S. We're a private company, an incredibly strong investor base, especially in the Boston area, one of the strongest investor communities in the country and the world, in fact, and very much behind us. And one last point is we have no old legacy systems to support around the country. The systems that we are supporting are our new system, is our ClearVote voting system, and that is the only one we need to support out in the industry. ClearVote. ClearVote is our complete voting system, beginning to end voting system. It begins with ClearDesign, our ballot generation layout creation software, which the counties themselves used on their own during the pilots to create their own ballots. We also offer ballot coding services for any county, smaller counties that don't want to, but ClearDesign is our ballot layout and creation software. ClearAccess is our accessible voting system, developed through an EAC grant with the Center for Civic Design, and it is it works off of commercial off-the-shelf hardware, and it was used both in Gilpin and Adams and around the country. It will be used around the country as well. And ClearCount, which is our ballot tabulation and reporting software, beginning to end voting system. And we'll talk later about our precinct system, which is here as well. Not necessarily for Colorado use, but you can see the continued innovation that we have across the board. Trout.
Thanks. Good morning, and appreciate the opportunity to be here. We're excited for what we're trying to do here in Colorado. As Jordan said, I've got a lot of election experience.
Steve, pardon me. This is Dwight Schomer from the Secretary of State's office. Let me just remind everybody, just for the benefit of those who are listening to the webcast, please take care before you start speaking to just introduce yourself, because otherwise it gets very confused.
Thank you. I appreciate that reminder. So I'm Steve Trout, the Director of Election Innovation at Clear Ballot. As Jordan said, I've spent over 17 years in both county and state elections and have learned a lot and been able, especially in a vote-by-mail perspective. All of you at the counter here recognize that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. Obviously the state recognizes that in asking for our pilots to have a large county and a small county. And so one of the benefits that ClearBallot brings is that we're very scalable. As you can see, we've got different hardware that can fit to the needs of the particular jurisdiction. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that we won't be able to provide the benefits of a uniform voting system, because all of the software is the same, all of the training is the same, all of the support is the same. And so really what you get with ClearBallot is the best of both worlds. You get to have all of the benefits of a uniform voting system with scalable hardware. We've got over a dozen different options and alternatives of hardware based on the size of the county. We know what worked in Gilpin County, and what's going to be most effective and efficient is different than what was in Adams County, and rightfully so. A lot of times it's dictated by the size of the office space, where you can store things, what staff you have. And so we just acknowledge that there's not one size that fits all. But with ClearBallot, you get one system that meets the UVS goals, but with many ways to implement that on the hardware side. We know that election officials know, they're the experts. They know what works best in their jurisdiction. We want to give them the options and the different tools to be able to make it work the best in their jurisdiction. And so that's really one of the foundational bases of our company, is we want to give election officials options so that they can make the best choices for what will work best for their voters and in their offices. So, like Jordan said, spent over 4 years as the state election director in Oregon and a number of years in the county level in California. processing vote-by-mail ballots. You know, as Colorado has joined Oregon and Washington is entirely vote-by-mail, I appreciate many of the pain points that you experience there. I think vote-by-mail has many more advantages than it has pain points, but I want to focus on some of the pain points that Clear Ballot can solve and help reduce or eliminate. We have, in my experience, the worst sound on election day is the sound of silence, because that means the scanners aren't running, which means that you're not going to have as many reports as fast, and it means you're going to be there later into the night. So with our system, we're able to continually scan. Our scanners don't stop. They don't outstack. They don't segregate, kick out overvotes or write-ins or any of that. The scanner continues to scan, just capturing the image. And that allows us to have a much faster throughput and to get more ballots through the scanners in a faster amount of time. With that, one of the other benefits that we have is our reports are available at any point. All the previous systems I've worked on, you had to stop scanning and take a backup and take an export to go and report your results to present a report. With Clear Ballot, you don't have to stop scanning at all. You can produce reports at any point and be able to go and publish those to the web or provide them to the public. And again, it may only take 10 minutes to stop and produce those reports, but that's 10 minutes that keeps you from going home earlier. And if you're running, 6 or 10 updates through the night, that adds up. So we're really able to maximize the throughput of the scanners and keep those scanners running so there is no silence. Manual processes in a vote-by-mail system are enormous. From sorting and opening and inspecting and signature checking and duplication and all of those steps that are all very manual processes. And so with our system, we're able to eliminate many of those bottlenecks because the software does the work. The software will sort. The software will, allow ballots to be adjudicated to reflect voter intent so that you don't have to go and manually duplicate things. And I know, Adams County has some great numbers that we'll talk about in a little while of the amount of staff that was, or the amount of time that was necessary for duplicating drastically reduced. What that means for a county is, one of two options. Either you can reallocate those resources that you had for duplication or working on overvotes or outstacks to other bottlenecks in the process, signature verification, whatever the bottleneck is in your current operation, or you can realize cost savings by reducing the amount of temporary labor that you need to process those steps. And the other benefit is it allows the county to allocate the best resources at the time that they have those available resources to take care of these ballots and making sure that voter intent is accurately reflected. The next pain point that occurs in vote-by-mail jurisdictions is paper costs. You're sending the ballot to every single voter, that adds up quickly. And again, our philosophy, we want to give counties options. So with Clear Ballot, you're not tied to any one particular paper, any one particular vendor. We support various weights and sizes and brands of paper. We just ask you to coordinate with your printer on what you would like to print on. We'll test those ballots, make sure they work. Obviously, you'd want to make sure they work too. And then we'll certify that to be used. So in Oregon right now, we've got three different weights of papers that are approved for counties to choose whatever they think is most advantageous for them. So obviously, having paper choices gives you cost-saving opportunities. But one of the other great things that the Clear Ballot has is its range of ballot sizes. You're not tied to two or three sizes. So we've got a couple examples here. As Judd's trying to take my picture, and I'm moving around. We can produce a ballot as small as 5 inches, and all the way up to 21. This one's not 21, but just to show the range, so that you're only having to provide and print ballots for the number of contests that you have on the ballot. If you just have one or two contests, a 5-inch ballot will work great. And not only does that use half as much or a third as much paper. And the cost savings there, but also this ballot scans a lot faster than this one does. So you get a lot faster throughput and a lot more speed. So, we recognize you're not always going to be able to take advantage of a 5-inch ballot, but with clear ballot, there's no set sizes. So whatever size you need to fit all of the contest on, that's all you have to produce. You know, I know with a lot of jurisdictions, there's one or two ballot types that are longer than everyone else's. And so, you know, you'll have everybody, everything will fit on a 14-inch ballot except for these two ballot types that force you to go to a 17-inch. With clear ballot, if those fit on a 15-inch, we'll just go to 15-inch. Or if it'll go on to a 12, it'll go on to a 12. So we've got that range of ballot lengths so that you're only buying and paying for what you need. And so that's a huge benefit and savings to counties. Finally, you know, one of the other, you know, vote by mail issues is ballot layout and production. Obviously, you've got to get the ballots ready for your, you know, for your UOCAVA voters, but also a little bit less forgiving when you're mailing ballots out to voters well ahead of the election. We've really tried to make this simple. We've taken years of experience and lessons learned over the last 30 years of ballot creation, and taken those lessons learned and bruises and scars and tried to and have successfully made a better product that's simpler and easy to use. It's browser-based, it uses text editor, so if you can lay something out in Word with bolding, italics, cut and paste, you can do that in our ballot creation tool. If you want to import an image, your county seal, instructions, a map, you just import that just like you would into a Word document, and it makes it really easy so that counties in the past that have had to go out and have others lay out their ballots are now able to do it themselves. Gives them more control, gives them more cost savings, and helps them to be able to provide a better product. But one other point on the ballot layout is the proofing has really been made more efficient, because as you go through and lay the ballot out, you're laying it out both for the ballots that get sent to the printer, but also for your accessible units that are going to work on clear access. Those buttons are right next to each other to create those ballots, so you only have to proof once instead of having to proof separate systems. So there's a lot of efficiencies to be gained there. So I'm really excited that you know, that we're here and Colorado's leading the charge on moving forward with new election systems. You know, I've been talking about moving to software-based systems for, you know, over 5 years now, and a lot of peers in the election industry have been looking for that, and I'm just excited that we've been able to deliver that, and you know, just finished successful elections, live elections, in three Oregon counties and the two pilots here, and it's really exciting to see these ideas for the future and the simplicity and the modern technology that we're able to use to come forward and to be able to provide better tools, not only for voters, but for election administrators. And that's going to breed more confidence in the public. And so, you know, I commend you for what you're doing here. And just want to close that again, clear ballot provides all of the benefits of a uniform voting system, yet with options of different off-the-shelf hardware that allows it to be specified for the individual county needs, recognizing that there's not a one-size-fits-all. So with that, I'll turn it back to Jordan, who's going to do a quick overview of our pilots.
Yeah, again, this is Jordan Neston. You know, obviously, we're here today a lot to talk about the pilots and the success and the feedback and the lessons we've learned from these pilots over the course of really the last couple months we've been working. With Adams County, we sat down with Stan and his team a number of months ago, and from the beginning they said, you know, our three goals are accuracy, efficiency, and transparency. Stan and a number of the team members were new to the elections process, and so their first time running some of these, you know, laying on some experienced staff and some new members, and so they looked at these goals, and as we came away, these are some of the results. They were able to reduce the number of ballots that they duplicated from the previous election from 5,600 to 3. 5,600 to 3. In the previous election, they had to manually hand duplicate 5,600 ballots that couldn't be scanned or couldn't be read or had overvotes or write-ins or anything that they had to do that had to that required manual duplication. This time, they only had 3 because of, I think, huge tears from the mailing. And the rest they were able to either scan without any issue and adjudicated, or they went through our digital adjudication process. What this, along with some of the scanning savings and the throughput that Steve talked about, allowed them to reduce their labor costs, their labor and their costs, 38% in labor, 56% in costs, significant costs. And I think, as Stan would admit, this is the first time they used our system, right? This is the first time around. They're continuing to learn. We're continuing to learn. And I think everyone on their team knows it's just going to continue to get better and better down the road. I think they just learned yesterday a 90% reduction in overtime, a 90% reduction in overtime. So their team was rested, ready to go on election day, and really at their best when they needed to be. Gilpin County. Gilpin, a huge goal of Gilpin was to really gain control of the election. Right? They wanted the ability to code their own ballots. They wanted to be able to, you know, train staff quickly, and all those things came true. Gilpin coded their ballots with Clear Design. They had their staff and their judges trained quickly. And the scanning process, I was there in Gilpin last year a few times for some scanning processes where they had to scan one ballot at a time in a precinct system. And now they were able to scan over 1,000 ballots an hour with the small county kit, which we will show you over there, two small scanners, and their team was, I think, bored, some of their scanning operators, because they were just waiting around, right? The scanning was moving through for them very quickly in the adjudication process. And for a small county that doesn't have the big infrastructure and elections teams, you know, that Gail and Colleen are the two elections teams there, and they have a lot of people to work on, but the ability to really empower them is our goal, really empower them. And while they coded their own ballots, yes, we offer ballot coding services for all counties, but the ability to have a small county who wants to code their own ballots, they found it a very easy process. So the takeaways from us on the pilots, both Adams and Gilpin were the earliest counties that were given the ability to start training and start you know, creating their ballots. We work with a Clear Design sandbox that allows a score upload so that even before equipment is delivered, they can be on there training and practicing and testing their system and trying to create ballots. And both counties did that. They both did that, and it allowed them to be ready really well before many other counties and having their ballots ready to go. And this is a process we will talk about and expand upon in this implementation, how we will take that to all 24 counties and provide on day one, the day of the announcement, the opportunity for all 24 counties to begin training on their Clear Design. Again, in one election cycle, you saw the time and the cost savings in one election cycle. And by the way, this is not just, I think Adam's seen this, we see this in counties we work with around the country, in Oregon, counties that are saving significant money, reducing their duplication efforts significantly, and having team really more rested for election night. Some tremendous feedback. We were receiving feedback from both counties as the processes were going on, already incorporating that feedback back into the product. Ed's going to talk about the software a little bit, but the best part about the software is we can have a very quick feedback loop, feedback from Stan and their team already incorporated into the next certification effort, already in there. We admit there are lessons to be learned from our part. We are not perfect, but we learn from our counties. We incorporate that back in, and they will see improvements the next time. We're meeting with Stan's team on Monday again to do a full lessons learned, and those will continue to go into not only this version, but next versions, and continuing to improve that product. And we thought that because of these lessons learned, because of the things with the Clear Design and the training, the on-site training that we allowed, and the election night support, I mean, we had too many people in your life at your site on election day, right? I mean, we had too many people there, right? We were overstaffed because everything was running very well. Those are items that we'll be able to take out and roll out to all 24 counties in what is a very short time frame. I want to show just a very quick video of Stan, of a little bit of their team, some testimonials.
Clear Ballot worked with Adams and Gilpin County during the Uniform Voting System pilot process in Colorado. During this process, both counties were trained on the Clear Vote voting system. Counties used Clear Design to design and lay out their own ballots. They use Clear Count for tabulation and reporting, and at the vote centers, the Clear Access system was available for accessible voting using a touchscreen ballot marking device. These are some of the enthusiastic responses in Gilpin County. The system is affordable, easy to learn, reliable, and eliminated a lot of stress during the election cycle. Love this new equipment. This is so much better than the old equipment. As an election judge, I find it so much easier to explain this system to voters. And in Adams County, Clerk Stan Martin spoke about the accuracy, efficiency, and transparency that the clear ballot system brought to his election process.
I took an analysis of the 2014 election, and I ran some numbers on that. And in our duplicating process, we spent roughly about $65,000 doing that duplicating process. And we had roughly 56 judges and staff working on that, just that process alone. This year and in future elections, we're going to narrow that down to two judges, and we're going to narrow that $65,000 down to less than $1,000 doing that same process. I also did an analysis of this election versus 2013, given that they're both coordinated elections. And our cost savings going into this year is going to be roughly about 75%, or we're going to save anywhere between about $80,000 and $100,000 with clear ballot.
Thank you. Ed Smith is now going to walk through some of our technology advantages.
Thank you, Jordan. Once again, I'm Ed Smith. I have about 15 years experience in this industry. As Jordan pointed out, I've worked for two of the players from which you'll hear later today, but I went to Clear Ballot because they're doing something different, they're doing something better, and they're doing something bigger, too. We're clearly on a great trajectory as a company, and let me speak to some of the technology advantages. So we started with three key decision areas that help to differentiate ourselves and lead to these four advantages that you see below. So first, we start with a browser-based user interface. So how many people have surfed the internet in the last day or two? All right, so everybody. And all of the people at your staff, the folks that you hire and bring in temporarily during the election cycle, whether they're the ballot layout people, the scanner operator, the poll worker setting up clear access, the voter on the clear access system, and the people running the aggregation and reporting. All of those are browser-based interfaces, interfaces with which you're familiar, with which your people are familiar. And so the learning curve to get out there is very slight. Also, the tens of millions of hours that industry leaders like Google, Mozilla, Microsoft have put into their browsers, and we let you choose, Chrome and Firefox especially, all of that development work and usability that they've done go into our product. It comes along for the ride. We get it for free, and so do you. Similarly, COTS hardware. The browsers are COTS software. It's commercial off the shelf. We don't modify that stuff in any way. Same with the hardware. Fujitsu scanners, which arguably are the best in the industry and see a far wider variety of marks than some of the other players, and I'll speak to that. Dell hardware, Dell laptops, we don't modify them. They drop ship right to the county. The state comes out and loads the trusted build. No special settings or configurations or anything out of the ordinary. The state loads the trusted builds. They get hardened according to state specs, and they're ready to use, which also helps with disaster recovery. If you need a trip to Best Buy and a visit from the Fujitsu rep when they're distributed all over the state, allow you to quickly recover from a disaster, from having to move a polling place, even Election Central, something being destroyed, fire, other weather disaster. We can get you up and running very quickly because none of the hardware is custom and it's very widely available. Last but not least, modern software base. So if you weren't Adams or Gilpin, you're unfortunate enough to have to run on an EMS that's probably quite bloated. 800,000 to 1.5 million lines of code, slow in some cases, relatively speaking, to today's modern software. We use Python, 80,000 lines of code. It runs faster. It's a more powerful coding language. It compiles faster. Once again, it runs faster. It's inherently more secure. And because code review takes so much time in the lab testing process that leads ultimately to state and federal certification, because our code base is a tenth to a 20th of the size of other players, our certification is much more rapid. So that enables some of the advantages that Jordan spoke to a moment ago. These lead to these other four advantages that I'll speak to. Automated ballot control. So we took from the legal industry and the scanning industry of insurance forms, vital records, and such, and we classify ballots by physical box
As they come out of the scanner, the operators put them into a physical box, and we use a file naming system such that every image, every ballot is numbered, that you can go into the box and go down through the stack of ballots and find a ballot quickly if you need to locate it, which we've done everything we can to make as rare an event as possible. Real-time results. Jordan spoke briefly to how we've structured our databases. There's no wait. There's no extra steps. Once the last ballot is scanned, if it's after polls opening and thus legal, you can pull results right then and there. There's no at any time that the database is not coherent, which also leads to that nice disaster recovery. If you have to stop, you stop, you pick everything up and evacuate, you reset up, it's ready to go again. Digital outstacking. As pointed out, we don't tend to duplicate paper ballots unless they're just completely almost destroyed by the post office or other means. We scanned in Adams ballots that had become wet because we had some snow during the early vote cycle. We scanned ballots that have marks from the voter with blue highlighter, yellow highlighter, pink and orange highlighter. Other players can't see those, but the Fujitsu scanners pick those up reliably. Glitter pens. No, nobody's ever seen a glitter pen used to mark a ballot, but we pick those up too. All the adjudication in Colorado, we have to adjudicate against overvotes, blank ballots, and write-ins, right? Statutory, rules-based. We do those all digitally. And I've kind of run over myself and spoken about the advanced imaging technology, but just to reiterate, the Fujitsu scanners are fast. We have a multiple range of speeds and capacities, and they see a wider variety of marks with their white light technology than do other players. So taking a step up from that, we have a roadmap for our products, and we were asked by the state to talk about a roadmap a little bit. And it includes these five areas, among others, and I'll speak to each one in turn. The first one that we have is our clear design sandbox. So the day after Secretary Williams makes his selections, and with clear ballot being selected, we will have these sandboxes for clear design where the counties that want to move in 2016 and even those who just want to go and look around in the software can get a login and go and operate clear design just as if it was installed on your servers. But you're actually hitting our web server. It's not associated or attached to your system. So it makes for easy training ahead of the curve, well ahead of the curve. And that can be ready the day after the selection. In fact, the skeleton is already out there. All we just need to do is dole out usernames and passwords. The Anywhere ballot. So the Anywhere ballot is the state of the art in accessible ballots. It has all of the things that have been tested, tried, and wished for many years, such as single contest per page, as you may have noticed on the video, proper arrangement of buttons, proper fonts, sizes, the ability to change the presentation of the ballot while you're in the session, a number of things that are looked for. And Clear Access is a universal system. In fact, we had more people with either no disabilities or non-apparent disabilities use the system than with apparent disabilities during this last cycle. We're looking at the bell curve there where we can accommodate or need to accommodate only those voters with the most profound disabilities, and general population, those with apparent disabilities, all can vote on Clear Access and in fact did vote on Clear Access. And we received great marks from the scores, which I think one of my colleagues will speak to. Jordan's going to pull up a video on write-in adjudication. Write-ins, if you have a write-in contest, it's very important that process work quickly and efficiently. Here's how we do it.
To adjudicate write-in votes, first input a qualified candidate's name. Next, make selections by simply clicking each write-in with the qualified candidate's name. These steps can be repeated for each qualified candidate. Next, review and export. The first tab displays the vote by precinct. The other tabs show the write-in images for review.
So a rapid and transparent means to adjudicate your write-ins, where they're aggregated into one area, very quickly selected and bucketed into qualified and non-qualified, and then with exports back to the system, and in publicly available formats so that you can check internally, and if you have requests or need to show others the write-in information and that you properly adjudicated each and every one of those, very easy Excel formats that people can use and understand. So we also have ballot on demand. Our scanning, as I pointed out, is advanced. Some of the issues in legacy systems that created the need for very expensive, very high maintenance ballot on demand printers don't exist. We use sub-$200 Brother printers in our clear access system and also in the ballot on demand system. Our system doesn't require, for instance, such tight front to back registration as some of the legacy systems. It's much more fault tolerant, much more tolerant of printing variations, and so a lower cost printer it can be used there. And later on, say a year from now, we're looking at having this assisted redaction tool available to you. So with core requests for the ballot images, you can find that there are things written on the ballot that can't be part of a redacted image. In the red box there, we have a signature. There's other markings that could identify a voter. What you're seeing on this slide is 37,000 ballots stacked one on top of the other as if they were printed on perfectly transparent paper. And if you as the operator go and encircle with the cursor this the signature at the top, I'll just use that as an example, the system will find the ballot with that signature, bring it to the top of this virtual stack, and then you can either white out or black out that signature. You get to choose white or black to redact it, and that's now redacted out of the image library that you would then provide to the requester. Same thing with the other marks that you see that we've put in the red rectangles just for the ease of this presentation. But an extremely rapid, transparent redaction tool to deal with those core requests. Certainly better than going through paper by paper trying to redact these signatures and other marks and even to find them and hopefully not miss one. So as I said, Clear Ballot is doing things different and better and bigger. We have, since the original UVS effort under Secretary Gessler, obtained certification in Oregon. We've completed testing in New York and are on schedule to be certified there in December, and as well as in Florida with our Clear Audit product. We've designed and fielded now in multiple places the first browser-based proofing and layout system, Clear Design. Same with Clear Access. It is the first commercial use of the Anywhere ballot, which, as Jordan stated, was done under an EAC grant with a number of companies to be the state-of-the-art accessible presentation of a ballot. And Clear Count has also undergone quite a number of changes since the initial UVS effort. With that, I'll turn it back to Jordan and Anna Maria. Thank you.
So Anna and I, and Anna is our lead support manager, we want to talk about how we're going to do this across the state for these 24 counties that are implementing in 2016, the additional counties then coming on board in 17. And we want to talk about how we have the best team in place to do this quickly, efficiently, and be ready for these elections. So our implementation plan, we will extend the proven successful, the web support tools that we used with Adams and Gilpin, that we use with our customers in Oregon and around the country, to help them design their ballots, train, practice, lay out as early as January 1st. When the award is announced, they are ready, they are prepared to begin that training process right away. We will divide the state into four regions. Each region, which is their own project manager, two project managers for the central region, and that will help us work on training so that you can train together as a region, as a team, the trusted build. A lot of things can happen in the regional aspects of the system, and those project managers will stay in those regions throughout and have those relationships throughout. We're going to conduct individual site surveys ahead of implementations and installations in each county with the project managers, the regional project managers on site, developing those site surveys and plans with Fujitsu, with Dell involved before the hardware and the implementation processes.
We will deliver the hardware and conduct on-site installation, again, with Fujitsu, with our team, with our project managers. The Fujitsu and Dell hardware available instantly, 1 week lead time on Fujitsu hardware, 2 weeks on the Dell hardware we use. That is available and ready to go now. And obviously, continuous on-site support. You'll see this throughout. Continuous support, both on-site and with some very technology-enabled support tools and training tools that we use throughout to help the counties best be implemented. Our organizational team, you'll see the top four and myself, we are leading this implementation team. We are leading the team. There is not a salesperson here. There is not a, this is a support and implementation team to do this most efficiently and best, best and most secure and most supportive for all the 24 counties now and, again, the remaining counties. A project manager per region, an on-site election and support and training team, both from clear ballot team members and some very strong partners that we have trained and used in other states, our Boston Operations Center, our Fujitsu team. We will, Ed leads our product team, so we'll very, very, very strongly integrate other product managers and product developers into the integration process. And Steve Trout will work very closely on the contracting and the compliance and making sure that, that this is going effectively. We understand this is a tight time window, and we are ready to go and ready to do it successfully. The regional approach. These are the four regions that that we know the state currently fits in. Obviously, very flexible from our side. If one county would like to join another region for training or for support, they are more than welcome. And we will work on that in the beginning as we're going through the site surveys, as we're meeting, to decide what the best regions are, truly for the counties, truly for the state. But this is a very strong regional approach that you will continue to see us use throughout. Our training and support. This is technology-enabled training and support, right? We find the importance of on-site support is paramount. We know that we will have on-site support, but we also want to have on-demand training for the counties, 24/7 help desk support with a knowledge base, a case tracker. Both Adams and Gilpin used this support during their pilots. If they had an issue, they could use the knowledge base. They could use the case tracker that immediately went to our teams, text messages, phone calls to members of our teams to immediately respond to that support and be available for them. Pre-election hardware support, pre-election software support and training using, again, very highly technology-enabled services, the most efficient on the market, tested by us in both of these counties and in our other customers, used extensively, and allowing the customers, allowing the counties to get up to speed quickly and to have support as they need it. And obviously, on-demand video training courses available anytime. Right? If you come to a regional event and you go home and you say, I can't remember how to do that, you're training your scanning operators, you want to go back, these videos, these on-demand training courses, always available for the counties to go back and review. Anna's going to talk a little bit about our timeline and the first couple steps of our phased approach.
Good morning. Ana Maria Quevedo. I have 17 years of experience in the election industry, involved in large implementations. This timeline is a recap of the project plan, a project plan that has evolved since the first complete plan prepared by Carolyn when we were headed to the pilot implementation in Adams and Gilpin. There you can see some of the state's deadlines, and we overlapped ours. We understand that at first sight, it might look busy, but that's just so you understand that we know how to implement this. We've done it before. Caroline has 25 years of experience. Ed has 15. Steve Trout has 17, and I have 17. So some of the timelines, and we'll get in another slide that is going to be focused on the primary. Some of the timelines are contract award in January, and selection in January, contract award in February, the trust to bill in April, the equipment delivery, we have a proposed delivery in March, the ballot certification in May, the Okaba ballot May 14th, leading up to opening and early voting and election day on the 24th. Some of the activities that we will put in place to meet those deadlines, as Ed and Jordan mentioned, we will start the training as soon as we get the Counter Award. We did that with the pilot counties on training on the EMS, clear design. We also did some sessions with the pilot counties regarding the tabulation sandbox, discussing procedures, how the voter adjudication could be done, how the write-in could be done. I personally trained Colleen and Gail in Gilpin on the clear account administrator part. Caroline was on site. After the training started, we will order the equipment. As Jordan said, the lead time for the Fujitsu scanners is 2 weeks. It's 1 week, and the Dell is 2 weeks. Then the equipment installs, and the on-site training leading up to the coding, once the ballot certified, the pre-election testing, and on-site support on early voting and election day. So this is more clear. The training, the equipment delivery, the coding, and the on-site support. We have divided the project implementation in phases to better scale the support and resources needed for each phase, and that way we can review at the end of each phase the progress we've made and how we move forward to the following phase. So those phases are initiation, delivery and implementation, the in-person training that will follow the installation of the equipment, election preparation support leading up to post-election, and lessons learned meeting and project closeout. The first is the initiation phase, where we have the project manager meeting with the county and discussing the county's priorities, how they conduct election, their election schedule, and our proposed project plan. From there, the revised project plan will prepare. A communications plan will also be prepared. That way, we establish how we are going to communicate with the different counties, the state. We plan to have weekly meetings to which we invite the state representatives. Following that initial phase, a revised project plan, a communication plan, a risk assessment plan will be delivered. An on-site survey will be conducted. We'll come to the warehouse. The tabulation room will review the area, how you conduct the elections, your ballot flow, and will propose a plan based on the equipment that we are proposing and the best practices we've learned from the pilots and previous implementations. Leading up to equipment ordering, once the equipment is delivered, it will be available for the state to conduct the trusted bill. We'll do the installation, train the counties on the acceptance testing, provide the ballots, the election database, and the instructions to do so. We can also assist them with questions. Once the counties do the acceptance testing, we will regroup and review the progress being made, the next step, the outstanding issue, update the project plan leading up to the following phase, which I will lead Jordan to explain.
Yeah, so one of the things we wanted to talk about is when this implementation happens, the state of Colorado, like every state, has significant differences in large counties and small counties, right? And so the configurations are quite different. This is an example of actually Multnomah, Oregon, Portland County, the largest county in the state of Oregon that is a customer of Clear Ballot. And this is their setup, clean, orderly, efficient, optimize their layout, high-speed scanners that significantly increase their throughput. We went in there, did site surveys, determined how many scanners they truly needed, and were able to get the right amount on site immediately. Again, those Fujitsu scanners are available to be shipped the moment that contracts are ready. And this is again in the state of Oregon, six scanners here in Multnomah. We can go up to 20 scanners in large counties and in huge counties, but but six or four, they are all networked together, and the scalability is very quick, right? You can scale, you can add more at any times that you feel you need more rentals from Fujitsu for high turnout elections, easily to adapt and add more. For small counties, again, Colorado, a significant amount of small counties. So instead of a precinct unit in each county where they're scanning one at a time, we have the entire small county kit right here. That kit sitting right there is the entire tabulation system for a small county, their reporting system, their tabulation system. Two scanners, high-speed scanners that can scan over 1,500 ballots an hour, increase the throughput significantly for these counties, be stored securely in one small place versus having them over a large footprint. In Gilpin, they'll tell you, they use their old jail for storage of voting equipment. There's not a lot of room, and having a small footprint is incredibly important. In-person training. One of the most important things, we talked a lot about the technology-enabled training that we provide from day one, but in-person training for us is absolutely paramount. We initially will use regional methods so that you are together with counties of your size, in your region, to get to learn from each other, to share experiences. We do administrator trainings with the clerks and directors of elections to make sure they understand the system fully, the features, the security measures, are providing the users and the layouts and setting this up from day one. User training across the board, from the people creating the ballots, from those scanning the ballots, user training occurs both at the regional level and back to the county and local level. And train the trainers. We think it's incredibly important that we provide and we empower the counties to train the other people, because training never stops, right? It might begin on day one, you might do it during regional training, but you are always teaching, you are always continuing to train people. And we want the counties to be empowered with trainers to be able to go back to the rest of their team. So again, scheduled on-site training, whether it be hands-on in county, where we come and provide additional training classes in the counties. It could be during the before the logic and accuracy tests. It could be during the mock election that we will do with each county ahead of the election, to regional training classes where you can learn from your fellow regional members, where you can gain from them and work together to find the most efficient processes. To available anytime. This is an example of a sandbox where you can develop with SCORE and practice and immediately be up to speed as quickly as possible. And this is not just for Clear Design. We will offer it for Clear Design, obviously, right away so that they can get going. But we have sandboxes for Clear Count, for our reporting system. Clear Access, they can test Clear Access from day one to make sure they're familiar with it. They don't always have to be in front of a unit to be practicing with Clear Access. They can be practicing with Clear Access in a sandbox so that they can develop training methods for their election judges and making sure that they are up to speed practicing when it's best for them. And obviously, we talked about earlier, a whole video training library available anytime, on demand, that answers each of the specific needs of the trainers. Election prep and support. As we're leading to the election, the systems are in place, the systems are installed, we will be there, we'll participate in your logic and accuracy testing, we will train you ahead of that, we'll participate in the testing on site. Hardware maintenance leading up to the election. Fujitsu will provide a person on site to each county. Fujitsu has 17 service technicians in the state of Colorado, distributed across the entire state, in many of the counties we see here, but distributed across the entire state. And they will provide someone on site doing that hardware maintenance. Coming to election time, our team fully trained in the hardware maintenance. Again, the Fujitsu team fully trained in the hardware maintenance. These are commercial off-the-shelf units. Backups available at any time, readily available hardware, again, is incredibly important. Disaster relief, just as Ed talked about earlier, those are available at any time. And election support. Clear Ballot, our help desk, we talked about a little bit earlier, always available, but it will even expand during the election time. Our Boston Operations Center, are up to our CTO and Tab Iredale, who created Clear Design, is part of the help desk, works on the help desk, is escalated to him if needed. Everyone on our team works on desk.com. Every single member of our team, from the technical side
to the support side of the sales side is involved in desk.com and there for training. And Clear Ballot, as we've talked about before, will have someone on site in every single county for those primaries, in addition to the project managers for the regions, on site in every single county, a trained Clear Ballot team member. Election support, again, we've talked about this, but the on-site system support, combination of project managers, regional Clear Ballot rovers, and partners who have worked with us in other states, are trained in the system, and are ready to go and available both locally here in Colorado and others. On-site hardware support, again, Clear Ballot, Fujitsu on-site support, Dell support for hardware. All of these, Steve talked about this earlier, but it's like you get the benefits of one uniform system, but you also get the benefits of the world-class, the number one leader in scanning technology, Fujitsu, the worldwide leader, and obviously Dell, a household name on that side. And then the high technology, the technology-enabled support and training. This, we are not diminishing our on-site. We will be there. We are on-site. We have teams on-site. But the ability to have technology-enabled support allows us to be there quicker, allows us to be there when you want. At any time, that technology-enabled support is available to the counties at any time they need. And post-implementation services. Again, we don't stop when we install. We don't go back to Boston and walk away. Ballot programming for every county. Our goal, again, to empower the counties. I think Gail and Colleen would both feel empowered in creating their ballots. Stan obviously has a team to create ballots, but some of the small counties don't. And so we understand that. We offer ballot programming services that are available as needed. But our goal always is to empower those counties to create the ballots. Poll worker refresher courses, user group meetings during the summer and winter conferences and throughout the year. We do these in other states. We do these in Oregon. We are coming up again. You know, we talked a little bit about Oregon, but we were certified in Oregon earlier this year. We have 42% market share in the state, are the number one used voting system in the state of Oregon, another vote-by-mail state, and we use very similar approaches, poll worker refresher courses, user group meetings at their summer conferences and winter conferences for both Clear Design and other user group meetings, so they're always being trained. And voter outreach. We have a customer in Florida who the ovals are incredibly impactful for her and for her team, and she takes an iPad across the county to schools, to high schools, as people are becoming of age to vote, and shows them the power and the impactfulness of the ovals and how they can vote, and helping them fill them in better. As you know, vote by mail, you get a lot of different marks. But the voter outreach capabilities, using browser-based systems, the ability to take our Clear Access system and demo it, not having to take an entire system around, but demo it on an iPad so people can get familiar with it, can understand it ahead of time. Very, very useful voter outreach tools for the counties to use to get to voters, to make them feel more comfortable ahead of the election time. And post-election phase, we're going down right now with both Gilpin and Adams. We are getting their feedback, right? We are there for them throughout the reconciliation process, throughout the completion of their election, but we are also getting their feedback. Well, we got feedback throughout the process. We are sitting with them again, Adams County on Monday. We'll be sitting down with Gilpin as well, but Adams County on Monday to get full feedback from every single person, not just from Stan, but from the scanning operators. He wants to bring his entire team in to give us that feedback. We are not perfect. I said this earlier, but we improve by working with counties, by listening to them, and by, as both Ed and Steve talked about, the nimbleness of our software allows us to immediately implement that feedback. The feedback loop is quick. It is already in the next version of certification, feedback that we received from Stan's team, from election judges, from scanning operators, is already in the next version that will be certified. And we continue that feedback loop, and we're continuously working to innovate. So this is our implementation, an experienced and dedicated team. Every person here, greater than 15 years experience in the election industry, large states, large counties, they are incredibly experienced and incredibly dedicated. A 24/7 help desk, technology-enabled implementation, as well as on-site support and implementation, always there for the counties. Readily available COTS hardware, not just readily available starting when the contracts are ready, but readily available for any sort of disaster relief, readily available replacement COTS hardware.
And again, team members in all 24 counties. We will have someone in every county through Election Day, on Election Day, and very involved in this process. One of the biggest benefits for us is we're a new system, which is a good thing. We are not having to support legacy, old systems in the field that require that support. Our systems are in Oregon, are in New York, are in Florida. None of them have primary elections on June 28th. Our team is fully committed to Colorado for that implementation, for that process. And so it allows us to really have, you know, the full support for your counties with one product that we have to support around the country, not old legacy versions. I know Secretary Williams isn't here. He saw me at one of the elections. He said, you know, I see you again. I keep seeing you here. And I don't know if it was a joke or what he was trying to say, but, you know, we have been here for the last couple of years now, adamantly working with these counties, whether it's been pilots in El Paso. We've sat down with Teak and with Corrine and in Weld County. We have been across this state working with the election officials, very, very focused on getting our system in the right place for them, right? We are confident in the technology. We see it across the country. The use across the country is expanding significantly. But Colorado is an incredible focus for us. And we believe we're the right partner for you. We believe we're the right partner, and we are best suited to do this implementation on time, most efficiently, and lead you in the best position for the future, right? This is about the future of voting. We have the leading industry technology, unequaled transparency. We've shown you the support tools and the training, and we continue to innovate. Sitting right there is our precinct scanner. That is our precinct scanner that is already going into certification, federal certification testing. Not necessarily being used, obviously, in Colorado as a vote-by-mail state, but a significant cost reduction, efficiency, size, compact reduction for counties around the country and the world. Right? And that is continued innovation. And we will continue to provide that, whether it's with scanners, with software, with feedback. That is this company. We are focused on continuous innovation and dedicated and experienced support. And we leave you with a little comment from one of our customers in Florida who, before we came on, had an incredibly contentious recount that lasted for weeks. And ClearBallot was able to resolve the recount in a matter of days for her. And that gave her this peace of mind that she's never had before. And so it is our goal to be here for the state of Colorado, and we're so excited. We're so excited to do this implementation, and we are the best suited team, and I leave you with our experienced team, and we're just so excited. So thank you so much for having us, and we open the floor to any questions.
Thank you, Jordan. This is Dwight Shulman from the Department of State. Steve, can we escape out of the presentation for just a moment and go to the PERC website? I just want to get people oriented a little bit. And just so everybody knows, all of the providers have supplied materials today that are kind of standing behind the presentations that they've made. Again, those materials are available in paper form in the back of the room. I'll ask Jordan to please email me the presentation that you just presented so we can also put it up on the website. So click into Pilot Election Review Committee. So this is the Pilot Election Review Committee webpage, and Steve, could you click on the second link? I just want to orient everybody. So this is the information. This is, I think it was Request for Final Submissions is the name of the link. This is the letter that we sent to the providers last week requesting a variety of things, including pricing information, information about other products and services they offer that we did not encounter in connection with the temporary approval campaign, and also information about additional development or enhancements to the temporarily approved system. ClearBallot and the other providers have all given us that. I just want the committee to be aware, just given the timelines here, the committee had requested me to ask the providers about a project plan, a detailed project plan. Who are your people? How much experience do they have? Where else are you working next year? Where else have you bid to work next year and so forth? Because of the timelines involved here, I requested the providers to give us that detail by December 1st on those particular items, which we will consider on December 4th, at our meeting on December 4th. What they have supplied us is final and best pricing now, and other information regarding other products and services and plan development and enhancements. But all of this information is up on the website. In addition to everything that the providers gave us is also up on the website under that link. You can see each of their responses there. So it got complicated, and I just wanted everybody to be on the same page. I have numerous questions, but rather than me droning on as I usually do, why don't we see if other committee members have questions to ask?
Hey, I'm Jennifer Levin with Disability Law Colorado. I do have a couple of questions. I did have a chance to go test your demo in Adams. And one of the concerns I had was, once a voter, particularly a voter with a disability using the accessible machine, prints out their ballot, it looks like they would need assistance in depositing it elsewhere, and that just sort of like doesn't allow for the private or independent voting experience. Right. So I was just wondering if there's some way to fix that.
Yeah. Ed, do you want to talk about, from the clear access side and the...
Sure, there are actually a couple of ways to...
Ed Smith with Clear Ballot.
There are indeed, through use of either privacy sleeves, making the printer, the ballot box. Yes, I think it's been recognized for a number of years that there is a concern about people with certain disabilities, perhaps mobility, maybe an advanced Parkinson's and such, having to move the paper around. So yes, there are some ways to deal with the form factor around the printing to prevent that, to essentially make it the ballot box so that now you don't have to move the paper anymore. That is where it will rest.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Connie Engmeyer. And my question is, it looks like you've got a plan for the 24 counties that would come on, first of all. But then what's your plan look like for the remainder of the state? Because it'll be very quick happening right. For the remainder of the counties. And do you think you will have enough support for that?
Yeah, we do. So if we come back to our slide, it looks like there's 24 counties, first time in 16 and 17, and that may obviously change. Absolutely. I mean, what's going to happen here is we will have significantly project managers with significant experience now in the regions available in 2017 immediately to come back and begin those implementations right away in 2017. Again, providing with Fujitsu, with their 17 technicians, with that support, with our team in Colorado, and with our enabled services, we feel like this 16 is a kind of a tight window, and we get that, and we have the same method, the same approach, same regional approach going into 17, where we are providing the resources needed there. We don't intend to scale back. We will, for the first primary election, for those 16 counties in 17, we will have someone on site in each election adamantly there.
Chuck Brorman in El Paso County. I attended Adams County on the Friday before election and watched the VSPC application. Is that clear access?
Yes.
Seemed like it was a low turnout day. Looked like the voter had to have quite a bit of assistance from the judge to determine their ballot style. It looked a little not clear.
For the judge to pick the ballot style.
Yes.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Is that something that's you have?
That has already been solved, yeah. So we this is when we talk about the feedback that we were getting through the process. The current issue was they had to scroll down through all the ballot styles. We have implemented a tool already going into certification for the next round where the judge types in the ballot style. It immediately comes up, and they do not have to do any scrolling. They can pick that ballot style immediately. It was something that Stan's team noticed almost immediately, and we saw it, lesson learned for us, and we implemented it very quickly.
Steve Moreno. Again, thank you, Jordan and the team, for the presentation. Yes. Great presentation. One of the things here in Colorado that's going to be a big change for the election process is dealing with risk limiting audit. You know, kind of do want to know what your team is doing in preparing for that and how you're going to address
it. Absolutely. So clear ballot, I mean, and Ed, you can talk about this a little bit, the risk limiting audit, which we're going to be doing in Adams coming up, I believe. Do you want to talk about that and the single vote cast record?
So Ed Smith again. Clear ballot leads the way in being ready for risk-limiting audit. With the ballot location, if you feel the need to go back to the paper ballot and not use the images for your risk-limiting audit, we have what is, in my opinion, the best and easiest ballot location tool, so that as the formulas that Dr. Stark and others have written tell you how many ballots to look, we can tell you which physical boxes have ballots with a certain precinct, a certain ballot style, or a certain contest, and which ballot in the stack that is, so that you can go in and pull that exact paper ballot. But we also have, and I believe we're the only system that has a clear prerequisite to doing risk limiting audits, and that's the single ballot cast vote record. You must have that in order to fulfill the formulas that Dr. Stark has published and be able to validate the ballots against the results, tying back from the paper, if you feel the need to go to the paper, to the image, to that single ballot cast vote record, out to ultimately the declaration of who won and who lost, and the verification of that through the risk limiting audit process. So the system was designed from the ground up, and I remember going to seminars in Washington, D.C., put on by Dr. Stark and others all the way back to 2010, to be ready so that the system is ready today for risk limiting audits.
Teek Simonton, hi. I wonder, you know, and we're going to have access to all of the reviews and surveys that were filled out by the voters and by the election officials in the pilot counties. What are the major things that you learned or heard, other than what you've already mentioned, that are going to be addressed immediately in terms of enhancements before counties who would be purchasing in 2016 would be implementing your systems?
What we saw so far are a couple of things in Clear Access. The votes were overwhelmingly A's for Clear Access, but we had one voter that had the issue that we brought up earlier with finding the precinct and thus their ballot style, and another one that had difficulty finding the volume control. So as Jordan mentioned, the product that we have today in certification that's already gone through some code review has those two changes incorporated in them, so that we can try and have perfect feedback next time or something resembling that. So that's in Clear Access. On the Clear Design and the Clear Count side, I think the feedback was overwhelmingly positive. Clear Design, ease of use, speed, very clear examples of advantages over the systems the counties had been using.
Bonetta. I've got a couple kind of add-on questions. They kind of taken my class questions, but Jordan, when you talked about training, and you said you would have enough staff and bring in staff,
yep.
Is this staff you're going to have to train yourself, new people that you'll train to bring in?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a new company,
yep.
And we understand that. So it would be, you'll have, obviously, I feel like you'll have a great training program for
absolutely.
Your people that you're
absolutely. So it's a combination. It's a combination of Clear Ballot team members that are already fully trained in the system. It's a combination of project managers who have worked in our Oregon implementations and will be the project managers in these implementations. It's a combination of partners who have worked with us in Florida and other states that are already trained and we continue to train. And then it is some people that we still need to train. Right, and we know this. This is we are not shying away from that. Those training courses will happen both here in Colorado and also in our Boston headquarters. We'll be bringing people to Boston. We have a big product launch in January that we'll be bringing a number of our team members and other partners in there to do training, to see the full thing, to spend over a week with us, and we will be very committed to that.
And the other question with that, in a large county, one person may not be enough.
Are you, absolutely.
You know, I just wanted to make sure that you had realized that the size of county would mean some different amount of trainers that you would have in there.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why we have, you know, minimum two project managers in the central region. We can add to that if we sit down and we feel necessary. We want to make sure that the small counties know that we will have one person in each county, but we are fully prepared. There are people on the bench that I do not include in my 24 people that we will bring in that are fully trained in the system, even higher trained in the system, that will come in and be there at the large counties. I think Stan and Colleen and Gail saw the presence that we brought, even for the pilots. You know, over 12 team members, I believe, were at the pilots, over 12 team members for two counties over the course of the day. So extrapolating that and continuing to add more is something we're very committed to.
And I think we'll understand more about the risk limiting audit that is done in Adams County. I thought I would be able to be there, but hopefully there's some of our team that can be there to watch that risk limiting audit, and I know the SOS staff will be there, so we'll get some feedback from that. So we completely understand what you're saying to us. And I guess the other question I have, sorry I'm asking so many, is the certification. You talked about we want to keep doing certification. How long do you think the certification will take on the software that you want to redo? You know, are you planning on putting that through after the election so you have all the feedback, like even on risk limiting and stuff like that? What's your plan in how soon will you put the software through?
We've already started. The software is at the lab and has been and has undergone the first stage of code review. We feel that that's the way to ensure that we meet the timelines impressed upon us by the state, which call for us to be out of test February 15th.
So there's no more changes that can be made now.
No, that's not a true statement. We can certainly accommodate small changes, and we very likely will. But we do expect to have some small delta go back through code review and then through functional test. And functional test actually takes the longest part. But the lab can move forward with functional test, and only areas where we make changes would they need to retest, and maybe areas touched upon those by the touched, you know, peripherally by those changes would also need to be tested. So we can still make the February 15th and accommodate some changes, yes.
Yeah. And on top of that, as we've done in Oregon, we're already going through our second certification process in Oregon after getting the first feedback from primary elections. That is a process we intend to go through, is continuous certifications. They talked about the size of our code base, a tenth or even less of our competitors, incredibly speeds up the certification processes. So whether it's going through another certification, the first part of 17, or even before the general, or times like that where we can continuously be going through certification, that is a mantra that we very much have and have done successfully in other states.
Question regarding Clear Design. It seems like it's a very powerful system that is able to give a lot of power to the user to design the ballot, and the Fujitsu scanners are very capable and able to read just about anything. Very flexible with respect to that. How does what's embedded in the software such that we know that the ballot that was generated was on Clear Design and not an image that was captured off a person's ballot and then printed and then introduced into the system. So is there something encrypted in that image that lets that scanner know that that was a ballot that was designed by, on the platform?
Yes, the code channel in combination with using watermark ballot stock is the best way to ensure that nobody's counterfeiting ballots.
And then with respect to the duplication of ballots, you mentioned in Adams County the number from 5,600 down to just a handful.
Yes, sir.
You know, how much was that because of the inherent deficiencies in the old system, the ballot generation and scanning system, and how much was because of ballot style issues or some difficulties that may have been in the previous election? I mean, is that a fair comparison with respect to previous and your current technology to be able to differentiate the mark on a ballot?
We believe it is. I mean, we believe that
the systems today while improving on a number of factors, that is not the way that they've improved the most, is on the duplication process. Still very manual processes. Steve might want to tell a story about Oregon County.
And that's where I stood up and took them up.
Where they used their brand new system as a test from one of the competitors here today, and we did test it afterwards, and the duplication differences were very huge.
So Steve Trout, so what we were able to do was to take a previous election, and we were doing a rescan as a pilot, and at the end, you know, those were all ballots that had gone through their existing system, and so, you know, it was pretty clean. And I said, well, let's see the ballots that you had to duplicate, and let's run those through our scanner just as a test to see how many our system will pick up. So we ran through, they had, you know, one batch or one precinct where there were 69 ballots that had been set aside and they had to be duplicated. They put a big pink highlighter X through the ballots to, you know, and all the tracking there that you would do for the duplication of ballots. Some of those big pink X highlighters went through vote targets. We took those ballots, ran them through our scanner. Of those 69, 61 we were able to tally automatically. Four others we were able to manually adjudicate on the screen based on that. So at the end, there were only four of those 69 that actually had to be duplicated and in that real experience. And what I was even shocked and amazed at that because of the pink highlighter going through vote targets. I thought because we pick up pink highlighters that was going to trigger some other overvotes. But because our algorithm also looks at the consistency of the marks throughout the ballot, it recognized that was not a vote, and so it didn't include that. So that was a very powerful learning for me. It even surprised me at how well we were able to do that.
To answer your question more directly, Mr. Clerk, if you look at the stacked ballot image there, and I know you see this on your ballots too, you have situations where the voter marked both ovals, but then they put an X through, say, candidate B's oval, and maybe they even wrote you a little note saying, not this person, but this other person and such. We saw in this election, and I suspect strongly it was true in the 2014 election and the 2013 coordinated, that voters in Adams County voted in that manner. And all of those had to be duplicated because overvotes, of course, even if the voter at the precinct scanner makes a mistake and an overvote, they have to go get a new ballot because you can't undo the mark. So those all, with ClearCount, the central count system, were able to be on-screen adjudicated and did not have to be paper duplicated. So that's at least some fraction, looking to respond more directly to your question, that's at least some fraction of the ballots that were adjudicated on screen and not paper reduplicated.
On your redaction system for CORA request, does the system allow you to attach a text or a memo as to what was the nature of the redaction in some way?
All of that, just like the adjudication system, all of those are logged, the area that you're doing, and we don't do that now, but it'd be very easy to display a text window that you could type into and say someone's signature existed under this block. And have that become part of the audit log for the redaction.
As Ed says, every digital adjudication and anything in this is logged in the system with two or four judges who did it. And is all logged and is all tracked. And at any point, Stan, Colleen, the clerks can go back and see that. The public can see that, who did each process, what decisions they made. It is all very transparent.
And we never touch the image. Even if voters change the tabulation because of the overvote with the X through one oval, and they say, we're going to give that tally to candidate A because candidate B's oval was X'd out. The image, as the adjudicator saw it, as the central count scanner took it, is never, ever changed. There's log entries appended in the master log and appended to when we bring up the ballot for us humans to look at it, but the original image is never changed, including in the redacted files, too. And, of course, the paper ballot is never touched.
Again, Steve Moreno. Jordan, I know you introduced your team and brought a wealth of institutional knowledge from outside of the election world here, of your team present here today.
Yeah.
But didn't have any really mention about the team in-house with the programmers and everything else. Maybe a little history about
some of that. A little history about Clear Ballot. When it was founded in 2009, it was Boston-based, and the developers, the founder and developers, we're some of the same founders at Lotus Notes, at Lotus Development Corporation, very high-tech experience, IBM. In fact,
three of the five leading developers under Ray Azzi. Ray Azzi was the Microsoft CTO for many years, ran the Lotus development team, and they are the team that developed this. We've continued to build out, I would say, world-class developers from the Boston area. Seven or eight developers on our team now in Boston, focused on all different parts of the product. And within the election industry, Tab Iredale joined us about 2 years ago. Tab is the creator of GEMS, a system used by many across the country, and very similar to our Clear Design system, very familiar system. He joined us about 2 years ago with the opportunity to build this in a new modern browser-based intuitive software. So the engineering and talent on the team comes from both incredibly high technology in the Boston and East Coast area, Tab Iredale with the significant election experience, and then drawing around that.
Teek Simonton, I have a couple of questions, if you'll allow. In terms of the adjudication, I seem to remember when I was watching Logic and Accuracy that there, in terms of like overvotes and damage, that it was possible to upload results without requiring the judges to review those potential discrepancies or confusion on the part of the system. How does that work?
So, and I'll answer the quick, and then maybe. The contest that is in question is not uploaded. That contest does not tally into the results. Every other contest, if there is no issue, does tally into the results immediately. So we highlight and we break out the specific contest that may have the issues, that may have the overvotes or the write-ins, and they are separately tied. If there's damage to the ballot, nothing on the ballot is tabulated and counted. It is in a side section where the team will go in and digitally adjudicate that, and then the entire ballot will go through.
So in the reporting then at the end, would it be sort of a warning that you haven't adjudicated
Absolutely.
These, you need to go
There's
back?
A huge red line that says you have five ballots, you have 10 ballots that have not yet been adjudicated, and it is big red lettering ahead so that the team knows that either if they want to put out results that you know may still have because they want to get results out, that is readily available and understood.
Yes, yeah, so those were my two thoughts. That all the interim reports until all unreadables have been adjudicated have a very clear warning, date and time warning, saying not everything has been adjudicated, not all unreadables or whatever the warning exactly says. Also, you don't want to be held up from making interim reports while you're waiting for adjudication to occur. As we saw in Adams, the adjudication went on from before polls closed to some point after polls close, and you'd have to ask the clerk exactly when that ended. And you don't want to be hamstrung from running your report at, say, 7:20 in the evening and so on until you're done scanning. But those do carry a warning that says not everything has been adjudicated, if, in fact, there are unreadable ballots to adjudicate.
Okay. And then in terms of ballot layout, I'm reading in some of your documentation that there's preset ballot layouts. I'm imagining templates. How robust is the list of options? I mean, is it... And, you know, if there weren't, is there the opportunity in some of the similar systems that we're using today to enhance or add templates if you find that one of them isn't working? How robust are they currently?
Yes, they're very similar to Word templates, so you can add your own. But today's that come with the system are 1 through 4 column, and they're from 5 inches to 21 inches. All the way across. And the system, once it gives you some preliminary layouts based on the template you first select, if you say, you know, I don't like that in 3 column, or let's go the other way. Sometimes clerks like the propositions to go all the way across the page, which is nominally a 3 column layout. It's going to be a 4 column layout too. But you laid out the ballot in 2 column, you say, no, I really want 3. You can go up to the drop-down, change templates. The system will churn, and within a minute or two, you'll see all of your ballots relayed out in 3 columns with the propositions going all the way across the page.
And can you change the template based on the ballot style? So in other
words, an individual ballot style?
Like,
yes.
You know, proposition
you can go
BB
down
that
to,
we just had, you could put that at one point in one ballot style and another point in another ballot style.
That is correct. You can. You can
best
say,
use of the...
You can say ballot style 56 needs to be a 4-column ballot. It's maybe not having a proposition. But, for instance, it has a number of judges' retention contests that are just yes, no. They can fit in a fairly small block, so you make that a 4-column ballot. Now you've maybe relieved yourself from having to print out 2 cards
okay.
or to have things move to a second side.
Okay, and the last then sort of two-phase question about cost. With the upgrades and or the enhancements to certification, are those going to be covered in the annual maintenance?
Yes.
Okay.
We have, once you buy our software, you have a perpetual software license. Okay. Every improvement is included.
And secondary to that is with the operating system, if it gets to the point, you know, people are still using your system 10 years down the road, now Windows is no longer supporting the operating platform, are those costs included in the maintenance as well?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Clarissa Thomas, and just I want to thank you for coming and presenting on your system, but just to wrap up and to give every voter out there the reassurance, how do you ensure that Clear Ballot will deliver an election that maintains integrity and security, not only of the voter's experience, but the actual integrity of the election system?
Absolutely. But you want to start? No.
We don't. You do. You can look at your ballots. You can look at the images. You can see all of the tabulations. The public can see them. Clerk Martin put up big flat screens. We don't ask you to trust us. So you get to ensure it. As the clerk, you have the power, you are empowered to do that for yourself, which is the first time in the history of elections.
Thank you again.
Jordan, let me hand you this, if I may. That's the cost proposal workbook that you submitted. And I just had a couple of real quick questions, and I'll take you right to the page. So this is on page 3, where you supplied an all-in-one pricing worksheet. So, and I just want to make sure I understand your pricing methodology. This is divided out by county tier, and just so everybody is aware, the county tiers are based on the number of active registered voters, which is how we think about scaling elections. So the first line item is Clear Design Software. For a tier 1.1 county, it's the acquisition cost is $125,750. For a tier 1.2 county, it's $80,500. It's the same software. Why the distinction?
The distinction is the tremendous amount of support that continues to go into it, working with the counties, scaling up the number of ballot styles, and having that back and forth feedback depends on the number of ballot styles that they use and the size of the county.
Okay, so, and I got to do this real quick because we're kind of out of time. If you could jump ahead, and I'll come back to that. If you could jump ahead to page 32, this requested you to itemize your hardware costs. With me?
Yep.
So under, we also requested, number one, itemize the hardware costs, and then I also requested kind of an ongoing carrying expenses and annual firmware licenses. And you have stated different amounts for the high volume system, which right. I presume is suitable for a tier 1.1 or 1.2 county. It's $9,245 per unit. I guess I don't understand why, since Clear Ballot is using commercial off the shelf hardware, it doesn't seem to me that you have any firmware, and why then is there an annual firmware license
fee? Yeah, the firmware here really, and maybe that was the terminology used, is the maintenance on the scanners. The maintenance on the scanners that is an annual maintenance. So Fujitsu provides annual maintenance on the scanners. Annually they come in to refresh them. Any issues, Fujitsu has the option of as close as 4-hour support, the next day support, 17 technicians, that is all included in that maintenance and support, additional Fujitsu support.
Okay. And then turn to the next page, please, page 33. This page asks you to itemize the annual, among other things, in addition to the acquisition cost of software now, we also ask you to itemize the annual license fees. And so, again, here you're stating that the, for example, a tier 1.1 county for Clear Design, there's an annual license fee of $35,150, right. And that's about ballpark $14,000 and change right. more than a tier 1.2 yeah. county. Again, yeah. Why the distinction?
Well, a few reasons. First of all, we do not embed any of our software costs in the hardware. Okay, so none of our software costs are embedded in the hardware. The hardware is commercial off the shelf. We also do not charge per seat licenses, per unit licenses. Counties can have as many laptops using this as they want. We do not charge per seat. So we lay it out there all in front, and the differences in the size of the counties is obviously gives the opportunity to small counties to still use the system at a very reasonable cost, where the large counties will have many more seats, likely many more users, but allows them to expand what they want to and not set per seat licenses. They can have as many as they want.
Okay, thanks. One last question, page 36. This asked you, this is the post-implementation support cost table, which asks you to itemize basically warranty support related costs going forward.
Okay.
And for a tier 1.1 county, there is a comprehensive annual fee of $135,000 year one, and it escalates in subsequent years.
Okay.
And then the same charge for tier 1.2 county is
substantially less. And a lot of this you see in what you saw from Stan, Clear Ballot saves these counties money and saves the counties money throughout the life of the system. The lifetime cost savings of this is proven out in the use, in the savings on labor, on team, on manual processes. And so it is our opinion that obviously the larger counties have significantly more cost savings in that effect. The smaller counties, only a few people, the cost savings is lower. And this continues to go into, I think Teek's question was, continuous innovation, right? So we are investing in that innovation continuously and annually, and the counties are invested there with us. So they not only get our maintenance and support, but they get continuous innovation. They get significant lifetime cost savings around the system, and all of that allows us to continue to bring new products out there, to support them, to maintenance them, not to get in a situation where a legacy system hasn't been properly maintained. You're looking for parts, or you're looking for systems, or a change of an operating system, and you're stuck. We are continuously on a cutting edge of that. And so it is laid out on a county size in that ideal.
Okay. We are out of time. So, and to the Clear Ballot people, thank you. That was a great presentation. And thank you so much for everything you did for our pilot counties. I know they're very impressed with your system. And thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is ours.
Yeah.
So. So this is Dwight at the Secretary of State's office. We're going to take a 15-minute break here. So we will resume at, we'll call it 10 on the dot, which means we're running 15 minutes behind, but oh, I'm sorry, 11 on the dot. I can't keep time. So we'll be back in 15 minutes. Thanks.